Nehemiah chapter number 8, if you have your Bible. And I'd like to speak to you on a theme that I'm going to say it, and it doesn't sound overly exciting. It sounds pretty like we would think about it every day, but I think it'll reveal itself to you as we get into the Scripture. But I'd like to speak to you on this theme, back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Let's see what it says in Nehemiah 8 and 14. And the Bible says, "And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded Moses." Notice that it says they found it. And let's keep reading. "That the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in all Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths." Notice, "as it is written." I got to thinking about that statement. As it is written. As it is written where? In the Word of God. In the law, which is what they had at this time. They had that. They had a portion of the Word of God. They had the instructions from God for this Feast of Tabernacles that they had not been observing. They had neglected what God had told them to do in His Word. Now, does that sound more current? We have the Word of God. But having it and obeying it are two different principles and points. Let's see what it says. So the people, verse 16, "So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths." Guess what happened? When they got back into the Scriptures, when they got back into the law, when they got back into what was written in the Word of God, they said, okay, we got to do this now. We got to obey the Word of God. They've got back to the Bible. "Everyone upon the roof of his house and in their courts, and the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim, and all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity, made booths, sat under the booths. For since the days," here it is, "for since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun," that's Joshua, "unto that day." So since Joshua's time, "unto this day had not the children of Israel done so." They had not practiced regarding the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll talk about it briefly. That's not the message. But they had not practiced what was written by Moses in the law since Joshua's day. And look what happens when they started getting back to the Bible. And there was very great what? Gladness. Isn't that something? They got back to the Bible, they got back to what was written, and there came joy in the camp because they were obeying what God had told them to do. "Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner." Heavenly Father, in this time of Bible lesson, I pray, God, that you'd help us to apply the truths that you've given, and we would not just hear them, but we would apply them, that we would put them into our life, and we would once again recognize whether we've moved away from it or not, especially if we've moved away from it, we've got to get back to your word, and we've got to stay by your word and recognize what it has for us. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Nehemiah, we learn that in the beginning of the book of Nehemiah, we learn that Nehemiah was living some 700 miles away from Jerusalem. It was a time of foreign captivity. It was a time that God had allowed the nation of Israel to be judged. And when you think of Nehemiah, maybe the first thing that comes to mind is the wall, or the first principle that comes to mind is the building of the Great Wall. And if you took time, we won't tonight, but you could go back and read verses 3 and 4 of chapter number 1. And Nehemiah was greatly saddened and burdened by the condition of Jerusalem and the fact that the walls were, you remember, right? They were burned down, and it was a bunch of rubble, and And so he leaves the Medo-Persian Empire and with the blessing of the leader there and to begin the rebuilding of the walls. Really in chapters 1 through 7 of the book of Nehemiah, that's what it's about. It's about the building of the wall. But in chapters 8 and 9, the theme of the book transitions to the building of the people. The building of the people. It's definitely something that God has laid on my heart in 2021, and that is this idea of teaching others also, as we read in the New Testament. This idea of discipling, as we've been learning from the life of Peter. This idea of training and teaching, like we just read about in the internship. Aren't you encouraged by that? That there are young people down in Cojutepeque, El Salvador, that are surrendering to the work of the Lord, and they have an internship. And you know, in recent days, our own Kevin Samilla reached out to me, and he's a senior. Can you imagine that? He's a senior at West Coast Baptist College. In fact, this is his last semester of Bible college. And I can remember Kevin running around with Caleb and others that were in the youth group, and videos and things that are still, you know, available if you want to see them. But maybe he'd rather us not. But he wrote me and he said several things. But one thing he says, I'm looking forward to being home in June. And I immediately got on that and immediately wrote him a note and said, there's work for you to do here at Anchor Baptist Church. We're excited for you coming home. And I'm praying about that. I hope you'll pray with me about that, that we can plug Kevin in right away. And, you know, God has blessed us at Anchor Baptist Church. We've had, of course, his sister graduated from Bible college and married a young man, and they're serving in ministry down in Florida. And then I remember Carmen Tilma in the ministry here, and she married a young man also at West Coast Baptist College. They're serving in ministry in Arizona, now Carmen Cafaro. And, of course, Caleb on deputation and so forth. And now Kevin just about ready to graduate from Bible college. Our own David Setagizade here locally has finished his requirements at Pacific West Baptist College. I'm glad to get some of these men that are hopefully coming back to Vancouver, aren't you? And maybe some young ladies too, by the way. I'm not belittling that. But the point is, the building of the people, that's what's happening here. Let me get back to Nehemiah. My time is fleeting already. The building of the people. I find that one of the great dangers that we face, even in the Christian life, is the neglect of building our lives spiritually. Oh, I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and I hope you're saved tonight and on your way to heaven. You can't build something that has no foundation. And we know that the Bible, well, you can, but it's going to crumble. We know the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. We know that he is the foundation, and we build our lives on him. Our Christian life begins with a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved, that's where it all begins. But tonight, as I consider the book of Nehemiah in these chapters 8 and 9, we see that there is a great emphasis placed on the building of the people. Nehemiah would be in charge of building the wall, and then Ezra would come alongside of him, as we could see there. And again, I hope you'll read even the whole book of Nehemiah, but especially chapters 8 and 9, maybe over the next couple of days. I'd like to point out several things tonight, actually three things quickly, if I may, about what getting back to the Bible brings into our life. Number one, I believe that getting the Bible back into our life, it brings a remembrance. It brings a remembrance. Look at chapter number 18 and verse number 14. We read it just a moment ago. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. And it tells them what they were supposed to do. And in verse number 15, it says, as it is written. And then what did they do? As I said, they went out and they followed through on what they were told. They didn't know this yet. They didn't know that they were supposed to be doing this. What is this Feast of Tabernacles? This Feast of Tabernacles is found in Leviticus chapter 23. And we're not going to read about it from there. But it lasted 7 days. And these booths that they lived in, it was, again, made of all of these different branches, and you can see that. And what they were doing is they were living in this booth in these 7 days with the idea of remembering the wilderness, with the idea of remembering Egypt in the sense of what God had done in their life, and the idea of remembering going through the wilderness, the wanderings in the wilderness, and remember how God would provide for them, and they would pick up and they would move and they would follow the cloud by day and the fire by night, I think is how it was. And this is what they were, this is why they had this event, this Feast of Tabernacles, is what, so that they could remember the great things that God had done for them, how God had delivered them from Egypt into the Promised Land. Remember, Egypt is a picture of what? The world. The Promised Land is a picture of, not of heaven, although we sing that way sometimes in our hymns, but they're not right. The Promised Land is a picture of victory, spiritual victory. But when they would do this for 7 days, they were remembering the blessing of God's deliverance. Do you know what? It is only further along that we get in life, guess what happens? It's harder to remember things. Now, I'm saying that, and I'm really not that old. I mean, I'm not even 50 yet. But I'm having trouble, peanut gallery, now watch it. I'm having trouble remembering things. I mean, if you saw my desk, it is completely organized. Right? It's completely organized for me. I know right where everything is. I know where it's at. But the point is, we tend to forget things, okay? Oh, I forgot to do that. Oh, I forgot to do that. And we can laugh about it, and we can make fun of each other and one another. We should be able to laugh at ourselves. But let's not forget what God has done for us. Let's not forget how God picked us up out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock. Let's not forget about how God has put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Let's not forget that Jesus Christ conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave, and he's given us eternal life. Let's not forget it. And so as we get back to the Bible and we read about all the blessings of the Word of God, and we read about the promises of the Word of God, and we go and we learn about the wisdom that is available to us, and we learn about the conquering that is available to us, getting back to the Bible, it helps us, it provides, and it brings remembrance. Thanksgiving is true. Thanksgiving equals true revival. You know, when we are thankful, we are revived. The Bible lists unthankfulness. Do you remember this in 2 Timothy 3? Maybe write it down for time's sake. 2 Timothy 3, 2. The Bible lists unthankfulness in quite a list of sins, by the way. Unthankfulness, and it's talking about the end time, talking about the last days. We don't want to be unthankful. We don't want to get to the place, and you know what happens when we don't open this book regularly? We begin to forget just how good God is. We begin to take for granted what God has granted, what God has done in our life. And here's the children of Israel, all these years, they hadn't been doing it. Why? Because they had not been reading the law of God. But once they heard about what was written, the Bible says, so the people went forth and they did it. Verse number 16. And then you know what that brought? That brought the gladness along with it. Getting back to the Bible brings a remembrance. Let's look at number 2. Getting back to the Bible brings revival. Revival. Let's look at chapter number 9. Chapter number 9. And the Bible says, now in the 24th year of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth. Now remember, the context of all of this is getting the scriptures back. And I kind of, you know what? For time's sake, we're still going to go back. Go back to chapter 8 quickly, just so you see here what's happened at verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the what? Book of the law of Moses. 8:1, verse 2. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation. Chapter 3, or verse 3. Verse 3, and he read therein, where? From the Bible, the Word of God, the law. It's only what they had. He read therein before the street from the morning. I'm skipping some words on purpose. From morning until midday. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the what? Book of the law. Chapter 8, verse 5. And Ezra opened the book. And so forth, okay? And so the whole context of this is They've built the wall. They finished the wall. And now we need the word. We need the law. We need the word of God. And Ezra begins reading it. They get back to the Bible and things begin to transform. Things begin to change. They begin to remember, number one. But number two, we see revival. Let's go ahead now to chapter 9. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting. I've underlined that. And with sackcloths and earth upon them, dirt on their head. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins. Wow, that's revival. Again, what does it come back? Why is revival happening? Because they got back to the Bible. And the iniquities of their fathers. So they confessed their sin and daddy's sin. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So revival is coming when they get back to the Word of God, when they get back to the Bible, when we get back to the Bible, when we get into the Word of God. And I'm not talking about just, you know, doing one of these numbers and, you know, oh, that's okay, I got my reading done. No, seeking God to burn our hearts as we open the Word of God in the morning, as we maybe spend time at lunch on our break at work, or maybe in the evening before we go to bed, we read a few more verses or whatever your Bible schedule is. That it's not just the schedule, that we're trying to get this book in here. Because when we get this book in here, we remember how good God is. But number two, we will be revived. There is no way you can put this book in your life, in your heart, and not be revived. And there's signs of that in this text. Number one, they started by fasting. What is this? This is and what is this sackcloth? And what is this dirt on the head? It is an expression of grief and sorrow for sin. This sackcloth equaled when they put that sackcloth in, on them, it was an indicator on the outside of an inner humility and repentance for their sin. How did this happen? How did this come about? Getting back to the Bible. It brought about revival. But notice, secondly, what came about through this revival was this separation. It's the separation. The strangers there would have been the Ammonites and any other heathen peoples with whom they had intermixed. Different faith, heathen people. An evidence of revival will always be the principle of separation. God's people have a different heart from those who do not know God. And that's not bragging. That's not boasting. That's just the way it is. And we want them to have the heart. It isn't so that we can be like them so that they will receive what we have. No, we want to be like Him so that they will be convicted of what they are doing and turn to Christ just like we did. When we get back to the Bible, separation will be there. Come out from among them, Paul said, and be ye separate. 2 Corinthians 6:17. You notice the order of when all of this happened. It points back to chapter 8. When they heard about the Feast of Tabernacles, they said, man, we haven't done this since Joshua. It's written right here. We got to stop everything we're doing. We got to make our booths. We got to sit in our booth for 7 days. While we're there, we got to remember what God did in Egypt. We got to remember the Red Sea. I remember my great-great-grandpa telling me, oh, and so forth, however many generations, about that Red Sea. And how God brought them through that. And how that as soon as they got to the other side, Moses raised up his rod and the walls of water came down on the armies of Egypt. And all and on they could go, and they remembered, you know, it would do you some good and it would do me some good every once in a while. You might not be able to build a tent in your backyard with sticks and sit under it for 7 days and thank God for it. Unless you want to take time off work and do that, fine, go right ahead. But maybe that's not how we do it today. But when we get into the Word of God, we cannot help but remember it. If we get back to the Bible, it will bring about a remembrance. We get back to the Bible, it will bring about a revival. And within that revival, there will be a time of fasting or a time of a time of repentance from sin. That's the next one, confession. A time of confession. So time of fasting, a time of separation in verse number 2. Complete separation, by the way, let me give you this quickly. Complete separation is from the world but to Christ. When you leave out to Christ, you're not going all the way that God wants us to be. We're supposed to be separate from the world but unto Christ. And that comes as we stay in the Word of God. Again, as they got into the Bible, back to the Bible, they realized, you know what? We got to separate. Look at verse 2. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. How did they know that? How did they know they were strangers? They got back to the book. They got back to the Bible. And then the Bible says not only that, but then lastly, underneath the revival, it came a confession time. Charles Finney said, if you want revival, draw a circle on the ground, step into it, and ask God to make everyone in that circle right with Him. Draw a circle on the ground, step into it, and ask God to make everyone in that circle right with Him. You figured it out, right? You're the only one in it. I'm the only one in it. The more time we spend in the Word of God, we realize that there might be a sin in our life that has gone unconfessed. When we get in, we get back to the Bible. Holy Spirit of God puts His finger on our heart and says, that's the sin right there. We come across it in the book. We come across it in Psalms. We come across it in Proverbs. We come across it. We've got to put off some things, remember? We've got to put off those works and the works of the flesh and put on the new man and put on the works of the Spirit. It's Holy Spirit's as we're in the book and we stay in the book, get back to the book. In some places, maybe tonight, in some ways, we need to get back to it. What happens? Revival. What happens? Remembrance. What happens? One more. Rejoicing. Rejoicing. Look at chapter 9, verse 4. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, must be another, boy, there's a lot of Bonis in there, and Shanani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Notice, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven, look, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. When our hearts are right with God, when we are back into the Word of God, and we were staying in the Word of God, we cannot help but be in a spirit of praising and rejoicing and worshiping God. We've given it the theme of rejoicing, of rejoicing. When we get into the Word of God and we come to verses like 1 Corinthians 2:9, which says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. As it is written. Remember, that's the theme. That's kind of what illuminated it in my heart as I was reading this. As it is written. And we find in the Word of God so many things that cause us to rejoice. Go back with me to John 14. Many of you have memorized this, but let's go back to John 14. Maybe you're new to church. Maybe you're new to even being in some type of a Christian environment and you're joining us online tonight. We're glad that you're here. I want you to know that this book that we're reading from tonight is alive. This book that we're reading from is not the word of the pastor. It's not the Baptist word. It's the Word of God. And as we get into the Bible, we cannot help but remember and see with our own eyes the things that God has done, the things that God will do, but also remember the things that God and be reminded of the things that God is doing right now in our life. And when we get back to the Bible, it is a time of revival. It is a time of repentance. It is a time of that fasting. It's a time of that confession. It's a time of separation. Those are all under the second one, revival. But then lastly, it is a time of rejoicing. And as we read John 14, the Bible says in verse number 1, and I hope this encourages you tonight, let not your heart be troubled. You see, this is in the Bible. It's this kind of passage, and many, many, many passages, is a passage of rejoicing. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When we get back to the Bible and we find passages like John 14, 1-6, it's a time of rejoicing as we realize what God is doing, what Jesus Christ is doing, and what he is doing and preparing for us. When we get back to the Bible, we read like Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth. Aren't you glad for that? Powerful message by Brother Coates. His truth endureth to all generations. This is my generation. We are in your generation. You are in your generation. But guess what? The truth of God endures to all generations. And so I want to encourage you tonight, get back to the Bible. Get back to the Bible. Stay in the Bible. Don't get away from the Word of God. When you get away from the Word of God, it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget. So when we get back to the Bible, we remember. We remember who God is. We remember what God has done. When we get back to the Bible, revival comes. Get back to the Bible, confession and fasting and separation. When we get back to the Bible, the Bible convicts us. The Holy Spirit convicts us through the Bible that this has got to go. This has got to be added. How does that happen? It happens as we get back to the Bible. That's exactly what happened to the people. They built the wall, but then they had to build the people. And as the Word of God was read, they began to be stirred up. They began to realize, we've been missing something here. There was a remembrance. There was a revival. But then, I tell you what, when we get back to the Bible, we cannot help but have more and more rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Philippians 4:4. God is a God of love. God is a God of grace. God is a God of goodness. And as a believer, we have his word. Don't stray from the Bible. If you've strayed away, get back to the Bible tonight. Back to the Bible brings a remembrance. It brings a revival. It also brings a rejoicing. I hope that this truth, and you read those chapters this week. Read chapter 8 and read chapter 9. Read the whole thing. Read 1 through 9 and see all that God did. There's a lot of good stuff in Nehemiah 1-7 too about staying at it even in the time of persecution and people that were picking at Nehemiah. And he said, I don't have time to come down off the wall. I'm doing a work for God. So much in there. But really, the Lord brought to my attention and highlighted to me that statement at the end there in chapter number 8, which said, at the end of that one verse there, as it is written. As it is written. Think about all the times it says that in the Bible. As it is written. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. How do we know that God, who God is? As it is written. How do we know about creation? As it is written. How do we know about death? As it is written. Whatever your question is, as it is written. So let's get back to it.